The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your open and honest questions from a biblical perspective. My name is Eric Stanton. I am one of the teammates here on the Bible Information Brokers. I am in studio with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy. Ozzy, welcome back. We missed you last week. Just a minute, we'll be introducing the rest of the teammates, but let me first give you the number to start calling. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552, or as I always say, if it's easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And as I promised, I'll be introducing you to one of the teammates, and that will be Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. And before you speak, Daryl, yes, Facebook is live. So you can tune in. Or actually, you don't tune in, do you?
You click in. You tune in.
Okay. You click into Facebook. You can check out the show there. You can make your comments or your questions. So with that, Mr. Fulton, how are you this evening? If I can ask you to pray us into the show this evening.
We'll definitely do that. Father God, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity once again to come before you and the listening audience together to be able to do ministry business. We ask and pray, Lord, that by your power, by your spirit, that you might be able to touch each and every one of us in that special way that only you can, so that we might be able to do a broadcast that is pleasing to you, that it will be honoring to you, that would be in such a way done just for your glory. Well, not just for your glory, I should say, Lord, but I ask and pray that also we might be edified through the glorification of you on how we do this broadcast. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. I just pray that you really help our minds, our hearts, to be able to be set for these next couple of hours to dedicate and consecrate and to give to you all that we have. Give our best, Lord. Help us to take away I ask that you take away, Lord, all the distractions that may come to our mind in various ways that can come through the technology, Lord. And we just ask and pray to you that you might set things in order so that we might be able to have this broadcast that would be pleasing, that would be honoring, and that would be edifying to the various people we just named, the various persons we just named. It's you, and it's what you are all about, Lord. Thank you. Help us in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen. Listening audience, Eric gave you the phone number to call. I'll repeat it and give you some other information before I introduce our final teammate tonight. That number again is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. You can call him right now. He have open lines. He'll set you up in the queue. We want to answer as many questions as we can from a biblical perspective, as he said, ergo the Bible Information Brokers. The other formats are, as far as the social media is concerned, is Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, and also Messenger. And the address is the same, Bible Info Brokers, on those various formats on social media, Bible Info Brokers. If you'd be so kind while you're on those various medias, if you click the share button, I believe all of them have share button or buttons, and that way you may be able to share with your contact of all the people that you have in your contact list, whether they're friends or whatever those terminology they use for those various social media. So please click the share button, let people know that you're listening to us live, and also they'll have that information available for our archive shows. Now, if you want to send us an email, simply send it to this address, livebyword@aol.com. That's livebyword@aol.com for an email question. We appreciate that. We'll be giving you more information where that email address will be coming up. That is very important to you and to us as far as this broadcast is concerned. So once again, call Eric right now at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. The other formats, as I mentioned, is Bible Info Brokers for social media, Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, and Truth Social, and livebyword@aol.com if you want to send us an email. We'll be repeating those later in the broadcast, a little bit later in the broadcast. Now, without further ado, I'd like to bring on the phone, as we say, telephonically on the phone, and bring Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH, into the broadcast. PCH, are you with us?
Yes, my first break is over.
And you know what? I take my little break when Eric is doing the intro, so I get mine's in. You got yours in. So, I mean, we have a good little system here. We take care of each other, brother, you know. But I think the older guy, being me, need to get that longer break, though. We have to work that out in my, you know, with my union rep, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What's course, happening with you, brother?
When you hit the 7-0, I think we have to
give Hey, give me. Listen, I have a saying on my professional job that I don't get paid much at all on the golf course, that I want to shoot 60s before I turn 70. I've never shot in the 60s, but I want to do that before I turn 70. If I don't do it before I turn 70, I'm going to quit golf for like a whole week and a half. I promise you that. Hold me to that, Craig. Say, brother, what's happening with you? Anything special going on with you today? We're going to get to these phones. Matter of fact, let's take some phone calls first, and we can talk about all that special stuff that's going on in our lives a little bit later on in the broadcast. Let's see if the people can stop us from talking about what's happening in our lives by calling in and inundating us with as many questions as they can so we can give a biblical response. Because I do have about five or six questions I want to get in there, but let's make sure I don't get that opportunity to do so. But what we can do now, PCH, is go to our dear, our namesake, Eric, from Pasadena. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, Eric. What's going on?
I want to know whose name is written in the Book of Life, in the Lamb's Book of Life, and who has the Holy Ghost living in him.
The Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that kind of a similar question that we had last time with you?
Do you read? But I'm being bothered by these demons. They're saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he does the will of my Father who is in heaven. They're trying to trick me that I'm going to hell, these demons are saying.
Okay. Eric is saying that he got demons telling him that he's some kind of way not saved, and he's dealing with those issues again.
Well, I appreciate what his concerns, but I just want to assure our brother, as much as we could know about any other human, even ourselves, that he is a believer, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't even be concerned about this. If he wasn't a believer, if his name wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's a reference to all those who've trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and therefore they have the Holy Spirit living within them. So all believers, number one, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Number two, the Holy Spirit indwells them, because that is one of the marks, one of the blessings and benefits of being a believer, is that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he's the one that teaches us the truth. And so I would say that our dear brother, you know, he's concerned about these matters, and I appreciate that, but we've talked to him many times and appreciate his genuineness and his concern, and if he wasn't a believer, he wouldn't even care. He wouldn't bother calling us about these matters. So the mere fact that he even brings them up to me is, I'm going to argue, proof positive that he is a believer. And the Spirit of God dwells in him. And that's what you can be confident of, Eric. God loves you. He redeemed you. And my friend, he's going to hold on to you. That's the good news. The gospel isn't, well, come to Christ and white knuckle write it and hope that you make it to the end. The confidence we have is that God carries us to the end, that God who redeemed us, who who purchased us for himself for relationship and fellowship. But he loves us so much, Eric. He loves you so much that he's going to hold on to you and see you through until you arrive in the kingdom. So that's the good news I have for you, my friend, okay?
Amen. Eric, we thank you very much for that. That could be a very serious question to many people, PCH. We were talking in church today about a book. I think it was from Psalms 139 in regards to our names being, our lives being written out in that book. So when the Bible talks about books, as it were, is it like a literal book, as it were, like we have the Bible, or is it like sort of metaphorically when God does these things as far as knowing us before we were formed in our mother's womb and having things written out for our lives to do? And they mentioned it like even in Psalm 139 today in church, we were talking about that. What is the whole idea about books?
Well, I mean, it could be, but it doesn't have to be literal. First of all, that's assuming God even uses books or reads them. But he speaks in language that we understand. As Calvin said, God speaks in baby talk to us. So I mean, first of all, God's infinite, and he doesn't forget anything. So he knows everything, and he doesn't forget anything. So he has no need of records. I have need of records to prove that that I did something, or to prove to my car company or whatever that I made the payment, or to others. I need proof to show others at times that I've made a payment or something belongs to me. I paid for it, and I need it for my own benefit. But God doesn't need that. So I'm going to argue, really, this is, again, if he wanted to use a book, of course he can do whatever he wants. But why would he use a book? He doesn't need to. We need books, and it makes sense. The idea of record keeping, that God knows exactly what's happened. He knows who belongs to him, and that's the point. Two key points here. In addition to God doesn't need a book because he doesn't forget anything, and he's not having to learn. If you don't forget anything and you already know everything, you don't have to learn it, then why would you need a book? I need books. I love books because I can't remember, and I need to learn new things, so I love books. But it's what it's saying is the two key points here are God knows who belongs to him, that is those who are believers and have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Oh, and he knows who doesn't belong to him, and he knows who the fakes are, the counterfeits. And these are people, sometimes, we're not just talking people who don't even believe in God or claim they don't believe in Jesus Christ or Christianity. That's kind of obvious. We're talking about people who think or say they do, but in fact they are involved in totally ungodly lifestyles. They've never really changed. They've never changed their conduct. They maybe think they got a fire insurance policy by going forward to some altar call or something, but they've never repented of their sins. So God knows both, and you can't fool him, and that's the point. And so we would see it as records of like, oh no, I've got this, like the deed is, somewhere to even claim they own the house. I can go, no, we can go to the county records. We can go, I can show you the, that I owned the house, what have you. That's the type of proof we need. God doesn't need such proof. He knows who belongs to him and he knows who doesn't.
I asked that question predicated upon even the kind of perking the audience, the listening audience, our teammates out there to consider what they may have learned or heard at church today that stood out to them. And that's one of the things, soon as Eric had mentioned about this book, about being written in the book as far as the Lamb's Book of Life, I would believe he was be talking about referencing the book that they talk about in Psalms 139. I'll just read verse 16 for the reference of it. It says that your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's just, I mean, I didn't see that as like God has like a book per se, but because we're dealing with the omniscience of God and talking about the attributes of God, and we're dealing with omniscience today at service, that just stood out to me as soon as Eric mentioned the thing about books. And just the whole idea, like you said, God, why would God need a book? He knows it all before the foundations of the world. He knew it all and everything about us. That's specific. If the hair is on our head, which I have a lot of hair now, Craig, on my head, a lot of guys are jealous of that. Being old as I am, got a lot of hair on my head. If God knows the numbers of on our hair are numbered, and God knows them, that's that's something else right there.
There's no truth to the rumor that your nickname is Alfalfa.
Hey, brother, there you go.
And you know what? I would call myself Grafe Alpha now because the things change colors over the years, man. It changes colors over the years. But you don't have to worry about that. Oh, yes, well, yes you do, PCH. You have to be concerned about that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Professor Greg Hawkins, PCH, DOECD Fulton. Mr. Stanton is ready to receive your phone call at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Folks, you need to call in. If you don't call in, we got questions that we're going to deal with, things that's on Professor's mind, my mind, Eric's mind. Ozzy may even have a question in there. But the broadcast is for you, so give us a call, 888-995-5552. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever happened at church, whatever is going on with far as you have some philosophical question, all the things that's happening over there in the Middle East, there's issues that you may have some questions about from a biblical perspective. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? That's what we're here for. Ergo, the Bible Info Brokers. Call us right now. Take an opportunity. 888-995-5552. 888-995-KKLA. Or Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Twitter. I want to say Twitter again, Craig. I know you're just waiting for me to do it again, but Twitter, Facebook, Messenger, or Truth Social is Bible Info Brokers, the address. And please take advantage of our email address at livebyword@AOL.com. livebyword@AOL.com. And send us a question by way of email as well. Well, PCH, I'm going to ask you about what's going on as far as the teaching is concerned, about what you're teaching about, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But before we do that, I do have a question myself that I actually text myself so I can make sure I can read it because, you know, my reading is not all that good. And I want to get to the idea of when the Bible tells us to be something like be holy, be perfect, like a sort of like a state of being versus to do something. Is the doing that the Bible is suggesting for us to do, even sometimes when I say suggesting, it's a command, you know, do not do this or do this. And those are like commands. The thing about the being, is that an aspirational aspect? And the reason why I thought about that, again, it's sort of a golfing reference. I'll use that as many times as I can. That 54 perfect score, I know is aspirational. No one would probably ever shoot it in the history of golf or in the future history, but it's aspirational. Are the Bible suggesting that to be holy like our Father and heaven is holy or be perfect, is that an aspirational thing that the Bible is talking about, or is that something that we actually can do, and how do we do it?
Oh, man, you're using these big words on me, aspirational.
Well, wow. That's my golfing terminology there.
Cool. No. Excuse me, and I apologize. I'm still getting over.
That's all right, brother. It's okay.
Being sick. That's the tail end of it, but still got a little cough. No, Daryl, I would argue it's both and. It is an imperative. In other words, we're looking at language, an indicative, which is a fact, saying this is the case. Like it or not, you know, agree with it or not, this is true. This is the case. This is an indicative. And an imperative is a command. It's telling you to do something that you should do this. You ought to do this. So in this case, we ought to be holy. Indeed, God says, be holy because I am holy. Translation, you ought to be holy because I'm holy. We go back to Leviticus chapter 11, I think verses 14, 15. Also in Peter's, well, Peter repeats it. So it is a command in those texts, but it's still aspirational. And so aspirational, we mean it's something we aspire to. We have not achieved, but we aspire to it. But there's two senses of the holiness of a believer. We could talk about positional righteousness and practical righteousness, if I can. Positional righteousness and practical righteousness. So positionally, God has already declared you, me, Eric, our friend in Pasadena, and all believers righteous. This is a legal, or we say forensic term. Dikaiō is the verb in Greek, for example, and used, for example, in Romans 3:28. And it tells us that believers, having been justified. Dikaiosune is this, actually dikaiounthentes from dikaiosune is this, the word used, for example, in Romans 5:2, Romans 5:9, Titus chapter 3, and it's best translated into English as having been justified. This eris, in the sense of something that's completed or done, is applied verb, is applied to us. We have been declared righteous. So that's positional righteousness. If I could say it a little differently, I'm not going to get more righteous positionally than I already am. I'm not going to get more saved. It's like, well, I'm kind of saved, but I'll really be saved even when I get to heaven. In a different sense, if you want to use it that way, yes. But positionally, the believer right now, who's, that is a person who's trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're as righteous as they're, positionally as they're going to be. They've already not will be, not might be, not may be. Those are what we call subjunctive and optative moods. No, we're talking about an indicative. They have been. They are justified. But practically now, we are not where we should be. We are growing. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation here is referring to sanctification. Sanctification is a process. And so we are actually growing. So I don't lose my temper as much as I used to, or I have a better attitude on this or that. In other words, I'm growing. I'm not perfect practically, but I am growing into my positional righteousness that I've already been given, and then ultimately, someday in heaven, we will all be practically holy, that is, without sin and completely, totally holy and righteous. So it is a command, and it is still yet aspirational. It isn't even an indicative. We have been declared righteous. Mm-hmm. We have been declared holy, but we are... Practically, it will be the case someday. By the way, if you don't mind, I couldn't help but notice you you sent me a PragerU video.
Yeah.
And on it, Dennis Prager, who I appreciate, but he has this gal come on, a question, and she is apparently ethnically is Jewish, and she knows the gospel because she says, look, my Christian friends tell me that I need to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that to get to heaven by my good works, I'd have to be perfect, and you're not perfect, and so I need to trust in Christ. I'll never be good enough. And then she says, but in Judaism, it tells me I just need to be good. You know, I won't be perfect, but I need to be good, and those good works will save me. However, she's defining salvation, because our Jewish friends have different views of salvation. Many of them just, not that you live in an afterlife, but that God finally remembers you. He remembers you well. So there's differing views, because there's 20, 30 views of Judaism, which one you're talking about. But Prager gets on there and he says, well, you know, I know biblical Hebrew, and he does. And he goes, and the word perfect is not even found in, he doesn't use the word Tanakh, but that's what he's referring to,
right,
the entire, what we call Old Testament. So he goes, so basically the concept's not even there, so it can't be. But that's not true. The word perfect is used. We just talked about it in Leviticus 11. What is holy? Well, holy can just mean different, sanctified, but it also means holy in a sense of perfect, completely without sin. And that's why in the New Testament later on it says that only God alone is holy. So there's two senses of holiness, but one of them is perfection. I mean, so Daryl, that's like, I just had a chuckle. That's like you sent me to the donut shop and you told me to get a half dozen. And I come back and you go, Craig, did you get a half dozen? I said, well, no, I got six. And you go, no. I told you to get a half dozen, not six. What are you doing? You're like, they're synonymous, right? You know, you'd say, or I say, well, I got six, not a half dozen. You'd say, Craig, that's silly. A half dozen is six and vice versa. So Prager, I'm not saying he's disingenuous. I believe he honestly believes that. He thinks, well, no. You don't have to be perfect because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Old Testament. No, the concept is there. That's like Jehovah's Witnesses saying the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Is the concept there. And additionally, he says, you know, why would God demand something you can't do? No, God does demand perfect, and that's our Jewish friends miss the boat, not because we're better than them, but because they think the law is going to make them righteous before God. They think they can obey it well enough that God will forgive them and declare them righteous. And the New Testament, of course, they don't believe in that, is clear that that's not the case, that nobody's righteous in the sense of perfect. We are to be, And we're not going to be. That's why we need to trust in Christ. That's why Paul's so clear, for example, in Romans chapter 9 in the New Testament, verses 30 and 32, he tells us that our Jewish friends stumble, and they stumble. Why? Because they thought the law was going to make them right with God. And the law, if I can, as I finish this up, Daryl, if I can say it this way, the law is like a mirror. A good mirror, as opposed to one that's distorted at one of those goofy, you know, fun houses at a carnival or something that makes you look even heavier or thinner or what have you. If a mirror's not distorted, a good mirror will accurately represent, and it will show you how your hair's disheveled or your clothing or you missed a button or whatever, right? But it doesn't fix you.
Mm.
And so the law, as good as it is, the law is truly is just and holy and right and true, but it doesn't fix us. And so just like I look at a mirror and I see that my tie's crooked or too short or I tied it and it's too long, so reaching the top of my belt, it's going way too far down or too short like a mini bib or something. It doesn't, but that mirror doesn't fix it. The law doesn't fix it. And so our Jewish friends, again, not that we're better than them. We're not. We're in the same boat. But we trust in Christ, or in Jesus, I should say, as Mashiach, as the Christ, and we believe he paid in full the penalty for our sins because we need to be perfect. That is God's standards, and none of us reaches it, and therefore we need Christ. We need God to save us. And just as our Jewish friends, God told them as well to be holy, and with all due respect, they're not. Any more than we are. We're not either. And that's why you're in need of Christ. So I'm not saying Prager was disingenuous. I think he's an honorable man. I just think he messed it up because it's like you're straining at a gnat. It's like, oh, the word perfect's not there. Well, what does the word holy mean, Dennis? Help us out.
Yeah, and I guess, and the thing like you had said before, I think what solidifies it for me is that positionally, God is going to take care of the position. So you can, and some, I don't know, it seems like because God takes care of the position, because you already from birth are already caught into this quagmire of imperfection, born into sin. And so if God takes care of the position, I think that the whole idea that he was getting to, even in the video later on, he was talking about how the proof of your faith, but yet he wasn't dealing with the faith issue. He wasn't dealing with the idea how important it is to believe the gospel message as opposed to still straining at the idea that you are going to have to do, and then the whole idea of how much do you have to do? You know, how much of right you have to do is like what percentage? And people never get into that because it's a whole meritorious, based upon your merit, were they banking on the salvation? And if indeed perfection is the key for you to be in heaven, as it were, then that's where the issue is always going to become, that
well,
it has to be
sure.
given by position.
Well, sure, and here's what I know. Every person listening right now knows they're not perfect.
Right.
And you know that. And if you tell me you're not, all I have to do is talk to your spouse or anybody who knows you, and we'll settle this like that. But here's the other thing. I think it came up as well. How good is good?
Yeah.
When is good enough?
Good enough, yeah.
And you're on this perpetual works righteous treadmill that never ends, this Ferris wheel ride from Freddy Krueger that just does not end. But it ends for the believer because positionally God has already done it. It's not he's going to. It's not that. It's not like for certain he's going to do it. It's not he may do it. Remote possibility he might do it. Vague possibility called optative mode. No, he's already done it, having been justified. So positionally, God has already declared me righteous. This also, Daryl, this also applies to our Roman Catholic friends. And you say, you know, things like, well, it's presumptuous to say you're saved. It's like, no, it's not presumptuous. I'm taking God as at word. If God's told me something, I'm not being presumptuous. If I quote him, he says, Craig, you're all right on this issue. He's not saying, Craig, you're all right in yourself. He says, my righteousness is filthy rags. My best works are not good enough to merit eternity, to merit heaven. But his works are, and if he declares me righteous, who am I to tell him, oh, you're wrong, God, I know better. So we take God at his word. Number one, I can't save myself. I'd have to be perfect or holy, and I'm not. And number two is now he has declared me righteous, and so I can take that to the bank. You know, Daryl, I'm not planning on dying today, but it could happen. Literally could happen. There's enough time left in the day. I could die today, but if I wake up in the presence of God and I've died, and he says, why should I let you in? I'm going to confidently, not brazenly, not presumptively, not otherwise in that genre, but I can confidently say, because you declared me righteous, because you told me to trust in you, and I did, and I took you at your word, and let God be true and every man a liar. God who cannot lie, I'm taking God's word to the bank and nobody else's.
Indeed. Well, why don't we take this to the bank and to the phone? We have some callers. Sergio, hold on there for a second. Yolanda, we're going to get to you as well. But everyone else can call in at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. And if you're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, or what is the other one? The Messenger, it's Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the address. And if you want to send us an email question, by all means, do so by putting in the address livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. Let's go back to the phone calls and let's talk with the city of Baldwin and talk with Sergio. Sergio, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Hello, hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Speak up a little bit for me, just a little bit more.
How about now?
Oh, that's much better. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Sorry about that. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. What's your question for tonight?
My question is, so I don't know what the topic is, but something made me turn the radio on, and I have half family that's Catholic and half family that's Christian. So is there a God or is there not a God? I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Because if you got a family
I'm kidding.
So what's your real question?
No, but I was going to, my question is, okay, so the karma, does it come back to us at the end or does it just leave our body? The good karma and the bad karma.
Okay, PCA, this man went from Christian to Roman Catholic to karma. Let's see if we can get on the road and see what's happening.
Sergio, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, first of all, Christians don't believe in karma. Karma is a Hindu or Buddhist doctrine or some other Eastern religions. Karma is said to be something to affect the very action that has moral implications. There are positive or negative responses. It's not really good or bad. That's not quite how karma is said. It's positive or negative. So if I would do something bad, let's say, God forbid, I was mean or I just wasn't paying attention and I carelessly pulled out of my driveway and ran over someone and broke their leg, then karma would say because of something like that that I would either myself have my leg be broken in this life or a next or other. But there's this karma that from the law of karma, it's this impersonal force, and it's kind of like I owe. It's off to the will of reincarnation I go. So every ounce of karma has to be paid off, and only I pay that. So they would call it a law. It's this universal law of cause and effect and has moral implications. And Christians don't believe in that. Christians believe in, well, if it's karma, then I've had it. Because as we were just talking about, if you heard that discussion, God demands perfection. And karma basically says, so there's three or four points here. Karma implies you live minimally multiple lifetimes. In Theravada Buddhism, one form of Buddhism, it could be thousands, millions of times, in fact, in certain forms of Hinduism as well. Where the Bible teaches is appointed unto man once to live, then to die, and then judgment. You can find that in a book called Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Number two, karma actually is generally tied into an Eastern view that you're actually divine or potentially divine. And your real problem, second point, is you don't realize that you're deity, whereas the Bible says that's the very lie that got us in trouble. Adam and Eve bought that one, and they got in trouble. Number three is that karma is, there's no place for mercy. Mercy is manifest kindness. It's I owe, it's off to the will of reincarnation, I go. God doesn't pay, or God, or if you even believe in God, some, of course, Buddhists don't. But if they do or not, it's that I have to pay off the karma, whereas the Bible says, no, you're saved by God's mercy. it's mercy. It's not my payment. So the last point would be their view is you're saved by your works, either by knowledge, you realize your alleged divinity, and or you work off negative karma, where in the Bible, point number four is you're saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing. So while Christians may talk loosely sometimes, like, or even jokingly about, oh, it's my karma or something, or, you know, your karma ran over my dogma, you know, we joke, but Christianity does not believe in karma. So that would be a key difference there.
Man, I honestly, wow, I'm just flabbergasted. My mind just erupted. I really respect you and your wisdom that you just gave me. Honestly, with all due respect, that just opened up my mind to a different, different universe. And I thank you for that. I really respect that, but I want to know, what is this topic about? What is your belief, if you don't mind me asking? Because I just
you know, of course. And you have every right to ask this. That. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian as I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Son, the only way of salvation. But I believe this not because my mom and dad taught me or my Sunday school teacher. I actually went to secular universities, and most of them were atheists, my professors. But I believe the evidence is overwhelming, and I lived a pretty rough life, we'll just put it that way. And I believe Christ delivered me from all that, from all the things I got involved in.
Without the respect, I don't mean to interrupt. Do you mind like explaining a rough life, as in, if it's not too much to ask?
Putting my fists through people's windows because I did martial arts and lifted weights, and I enjoyed doing stuff like that. And it went downhill from there. Also, a lot of drug use and what have you. I hung around major drug dealers and all kinds of stuff. So it's a pretty raucous life by anybody's standards.
But I've lived through that too, and my life's pretty good. I mean, I know drug dealers. I know, you know, people who have done bad, and I know all this stuff, and I know what I do is good and what I do is bad, and as well, at the end of the day, who do we turn to? I mean, are we going to believe a guy that is supposedly going to be there for us and the afterlife, or are we going to believe in our good intention and what we do is good and who we believe in is good and who is bad and who is bad? Who is evil? You get me? You understand?
It's more than that. There's evidence here and now. I mean, let me put it this way. Where did you come from? Where are you going? I'm asking seriously. Why do you exist? How is it that you exist? What's the problem?
Well, why do you exist? How do you exist? Who brought you to this earth?
I'm happy to talk about that. I believe, because God created us. I don't believe in evolution. I believe it's not scientifically based. It's nonsense. I believe that there's plenty of evidence for the actual existence of God. So I don't mind you asking. When I ask those questions,
Sergio, hold on one second, guys. Hold on one second. Sergio, I know that you're just first time listening to the broadcast, but what my job is to do is to make sure that we have a conversation because, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people listening to us by way of radio and also Facebook and all that stuff. So let's make sure that when you have a question that you're not then talking over the professor when he's trying to give you an answer, okay?
Yeah, so we need to move on. I don't mind talking more with you. You can call back next week, and I'd love to talk more. Yeah. But let me just say two things. I would encourage you, if you're not sure or believe in God or all, whatever, wherever you may be, read what's called the Gospel of John in the New Testament. And just read it and be open and just say, God, I'm not even sure you exist. You may even say, I don't think you exist, but I'm going to read this as if you do. And if you do, then convict me. Number one.
I'm going to write that down.
No, let me finish.
No, he was asking for John. It was the book of John.
Oh, no. Just the book of John? The Gospel of John. Yeah, it's only so many chapters. It's not that big. You can do it in one sitting, actually, if you wanted to. But in a couple of days, you could do it easily and no big deal. And just pray honestly. Yeah, Sergio, say, look, I don't think I even believe any of this stuff. But, God, if you exist, then show me. Because we believe it's God's word. Now, I'm not saying you believe that, but I would give you arguments why I believe that.
I really do believe that. I really do, but I just really want to believe it because I'm tired of living, you know, the way I live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
hard.
I'm living in nothing but negativity, nothing but, how do I say it? I'm 29 years old. I have no kids. You know, I'm Hispanic. I live in a Hispanic neighborhood, you know, and my mother, she's been begging me to, you know, she's Christian and my grandma's Christian too. But I'm really like, I really want to turn to the Lord, but how do I do it without, turning my back on my Christian family. Do you understand me?
Yeah, because they're Roman Catholic. Catholic.
On my Catholic family. Yeah. You know, it's like I just want to live and die as a single man that I did good, and that's it. No religion, no nothing. Like, how, what do you? What does that mean? Like, what am I? You get me? Like, I just believe in good karma. Like, what you do is good, and I'm confused. Like, I don't know what. I'm just confused with life. Like, I try to find love. I try to find love over here. I try to find love over here.
All right, Sergio, let Uncle Daryl do this with you, brother. Let Uncle Daryl step in again. What the professor is suggesting to you, listen to what he's suggesting, and then by all means, we want you to finish listening to the broadcast for the night. You might hear some things that you might resonate to you, but also we want you to give us a call back next week after you do what the professor is going to say right now. PCH, go right ahead and close this up.
I want to get the book. I just want to get that book part that he's going to read.
So your concerns are completely legitimate, mm-hmm. Sergio. We're hearing you. We're not blowing you off. No, I think I really appreciate your honesty and what you're saying. And while it's difficult and confusing, and how do I find this? So we start with the Gospel of John. And then you can listen to this station, listen to the rest of the program. But call us back next week, and we'll talk some more. And we'll just keep dialoguing every week until we can move through these mm-hmm. a lot of these significant issues. Because what you're asking about is really important. And we want to say to you, you're really important. That's why we really enjoy talking with you.
All right, Sergio.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man.
God bless. You guys have a good night. Have a good Sunday.
Look for hearing back from you next week, brother. Give us a call back next week.
Appreciate it.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, that's what it's all about, man. People are going through some stuff out there. And even at church today, it was just, let me realize, Sergio, I'm going to throw this out at you. Check out Psalm 139 just to read that, how important everyone is to the Lord as far as what he did and how he knitted us together in our mother's womb and stuff like that. It really gets that deep. But PCH, what I'm going to do right now, Yolanda, hold on there. We're going to get to you and BJ, and we're going to get to you as well. But let me do this right quick, Craig. We do need to take care of a little business as far as the privilege and opportunity that people have to participate in financial giving towards this broadcast so we can continue receiving phone calls and being able to minister to folks like our dear brother Sergio who just called in, because that's what this broadcast is all about. We're going to get into the gospel message like we did a little bit earlier, but yet what Sergio's going through, Craig, man, that's what we do this show for. Exactly. But let the people know how they can keep us on the air, because we're coming up to the new year. We're coming up around Christmas time, and folks are going to be inundated with all that shopping. What did they got a thing called? What? White Friday? Oh, I'm sorry, Black Friday. You know, me being a black man, wanted to turn it around on y'all. But Black Friday is coming up, and everything's going to be on sale. So before you spend all that money on White Black Friday or Brown, whatever the Friday it is, talk to him, Craig, and I'll get him straight. I'll get myself together here.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Hey, I don't mind saying it's end of the year. I just paid my taxes for last year.
Hello.
We had extra time. But, you know, legitimate write-offs. I want to give to the Lord's work because I believe in it. But it doesn't hurt to get a tax write-off.
That's
nothing
right.
Wrong with that. Right, Daryl?
That's right.
Wise as serpents, harmless as dove. I'll pay what I owe, but I want back what I don't. And I want write-offs, so I'm going to give to the Lord's work for more reasons than just a tax write-off, but it doesn't hurt. But, hey, we are a faith-supported broadcast in all seriousness. In other words, this program exists because of you, the listener, because we have a number of faithful people who give, some of them on a regular basis, some one-time basis or otherwise. That's up to you, but there are many of you who believe in what we do. You believe in this program. As we mentioned, we don't take a salary. We don't have overhead. We don't have a building to pay for, mortgage or otherwise. Our expenses are pretty much basically the radio and maintaining our website and paying a webmaster to keep that thing up and updated with new programs. And what do? We do training of trainers. We train pastors and missionaries. We bring them in like in India or other countries. And we, of course, we don't charge them. We train them for free. We pay for their travel, their room and board. And that's one of the things we do with the funds we receive. We also pay the health insurance of the widow of our dear brother Brian, who went to be with the Lord, not this last September, but the previous September.
Mm-hmm.
We've just gotten back from Nepal, in fact. Brian had gone with me. We do that, and as well, you pay for the overhead of the ministry. That is radio time
and the website. And if you want to give, and we hope you do, we're a 501c3, but most importantly, we like to believe and argue that we're transparent, we're straight up with what we do with the funds you send, and they go to where we say we're telling you they go, and that's how we operate. So if you believe in what we're doing, you want to see it stay on the air, let alone to maybe increase, we need to hear from you financially. Prayerfully, number one. Oh, yes. And financially as you're able. And Daryl's going to tell you how you can do that.
You know, PC, it's just a privilege. Man, I was just thinking about the TOT and just thinking about all the world that we have out there, that this concept, that way you guys do it, and what I call streamlining. You know, I love the streamline stuff to get take away as much fees as possible and get things done in the most expeditious and, you know, just efficient way. And that TOT, the thing you guys got going on there, man, I would love to see that in some parts of the African nations that I've traveled to, Liberia. I know you got Ethiopia in your sights and things like that. So just, you know, people pray, like Craig had asked you guys, but now also give, and give generously. I'm asking you to consider seriously that the Lord's money that you have, because it is the Lord's money, everything that you have, you are His if you're a believer. You are the Lord's. Even the unbeliever just don't know it yet, but you are His, and what you have is His. So you should be considering the Lord first if you're a believer. And then our key for us is don't give to us as your church home. If you don't have a church home, then let it all flow through here until you get your church home. But if you have a church home, please take care of that situation there. Please take care of the ministry where you're growing your most holy faith, et cetera, et cetera. And you have bills to pay there. Take care of that. Don't send us any of that money. Please don't. But if you do have the Lord's money and you have that left, then here's how you can support the ministry, as Craig said. And you can even designate. It's up to you. Click online, Bible Info Brokers. Click online, Bible Info Brokers. Click that icon that says support and donate. Read that very simple instructions and follow them. We're going to get charged a fee to receive that money that way, and that's okay. But there's a great way I'm going to give you right at the end. If you want to mail anything in, if you're going to have your bank mail the checks in, if you want to do anything like that as far as mailing anything to our ministry, on the envelope, it must, 100% must say, Live by Word or LBTW. Then you put on there P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. The reason why I'm saying that, because the post office and their rules, they have it. It's all connected to Living by the Word Ministries. Please, LBTW, Living by the Word, and then P.O. Box 90477, 90009 is the zip code. Now, the instrument you use, whether it's a cashier's check, whether you're going to have your bank send it, whether it's a check you're going to write out, then you can put in there LBTW as well, and then just simply whatever amount you're going to give. We thank you. Thank you so much in advance. My number one suggestion, if you have online banking at all, Zelle the money right now. There is no fees. Right, Eric? No fees on Zelle. Right, Eric? Just wave your hand. There you go. No fees on Zelle. 100% of the money goes right to our account by Zelling it. And guess what the email address is? You guessed it. LiveByWord@AOL.com. LiveByWord@AOL.com. And those of you that are selling it and designating on that, you see how simple that is. Encourage your friends. If you're on Facebook, let them know that, hey, you want to give by way of sale. 100% of the money comes to us with no fees at this present time. And we thank you. We thank you in advance. And God bless you for that. All right, PCH. What we're going to do now is this. Go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Yolanda, our dear friend in North Hollywood, I believe. I see North, but I don't see Hollywood, so let's see if she is in North Hollywood still.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Yolanda. How you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm from North Hollywood, and I just want to make sure you can hear me. My buttons are pressed properly.
You are coming through loud and clear. And matter of fact, do you sing at all, Yolanda? You have
I am a jazz vocalist.
There you go. I used to play a little music in high school and junior high, and I'd hear in your voice, that's just me, Craig, being very perceptive with the idea of that voice. I bet you can blow. Anyway, if you got anything, send me an email if you got anything online. I would love to hear your stuff.
I don't. You know why? Because the Lord has me going in a completely different trajectory.
Okay.
I've given up all that, you know, but I do. I'm a mezzo soprano. I do sing you know, and I was in the jazz environment, but no longer.
No, I understand. If Brian was still alive, me and Brian was in the messed up soprano and alto section, so that we try to sing to the Lord while we're in church, and you know he enjoys it. Anyway, let's get to your question, Yolanda.
But you guessed right. You have good ears.
Thank you very much. See that, Craig? I listen well.
You listen well, but my question tonight was, Professor Hawkins, was or is the conflict, I had heard once at some time in my history, that the conflict, and I just want to confirm it with you, that is currently going on in the Middle East, with specifically with Palestine and Israel, does that correlate or date back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Hagar, Ishmael?
Well, it depends. You know, it's always good to hear from you, by the way.
Thank you.
It depends in which sense, but I think it does personally. This is this perpetual battle, and there's a blood feud aspect of it, which is a Middle Eastern concept, particular, that the oldest living male family member has to take vengeance, and this just perpetuates itself, and there is just this ongoing animosity, and there are those Arabs who have sworn that they will not be happy until Israel's been pushed into the sea. Indeed, in 67, when they were making certain demands of Israel, Israel was willing to give them that and more, what they asked for. And then they finally said, no, we won't take any of it. We want you gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you negotiate with that? And how would we deal with it if, you know, I don't know what neighborhood you live in, but just imagine in my case, I can see it easily, the neighborhood next to mine, if they're lobbing rockets over into my neighborhood. I mean, how do you not deal with that? And then when you have Hamas hiding among civilians, I mean, classically in what's called just war theory, it is, you know, you can't target civilians. But when you hide among civilians, you make that almost impossible. So there's all these significant issues that go along with what we're talking about here. But I would trace it back to, it's a perennial issue. And it will be, I'm going to argue, it will be until the Lord comes. I mean, some people have different views of eschatology, and they don't think that, they don't really believe it's going to be all that in Israel. Well, believe what you want. Look what's going on. And it is from time immemorial, right? You have this issue going on, this fighting. And Israel would argue, and I think rightly so, they're fighting for their very existence, their right to exist. Again, those in Palestine, which is Latinized Philistia, the home of the Philistines. I mean, they offered them everything they wanted and more, and then they said, "No, we don't want it. We want you gone." And by gone, I mean we want you dead. How do you negotiate with that?
You know, it's interesting you said that, PCH. I just happened to listen to a sort of a debate or talk with what's my gentleman's name? The young man, Shapiro. He was at Cambridge, and I love listening to debates. I'm a referee by old trade. I'm gonna some kind of way referee debates. I love civil debates about very difficult subject matters. And a person came on there and said, at the end of asking him a question, said, "Free Palestine." And she just walked to her seat, you know, and then Shapiro asked her, he said, "Well, what do you mean by free Palestine? By what process?" Because the same thing you just said is Ben Shapiro. Thank you, Eric. Ben Shapiro. And she actually eventually had to say she believed in a concept from the river to the sea.
Well, there you go, and that's the phrase. In other words, from the river to the sea, from the Jordan over to the ocean, we want them pushed in the sea and out of here.
Right. And you can't negotiate with that. That's no negotiation right there in that, Yolanda.
So I don't mean to imply that Israel's done nothing wrong.
Oh,
and
no.
They never make mistakes. And I don't agree with everything they do any more than I agree with everything the United States does. But I still believe in most situations there is someone who's responsible. And those who started this on October 7th and killed over 1,800 people, many of them, all of them civilians, what do you think's going to happen? You kill civilians, you know. I'll tell you right now, here's the deal. I mentioned earlier, I have a background in martial arts.
I'm older, but I still work out. And I did martial arts. I have a lot of weapons. If you break in my house, you're going to hurt my family. Something bad's going to happen to you. I'm not going to go, oh, well, I'm a believer. Praise God. Go ahead and hurt my family. You mess with my family, you go to harm them. You go to harm anybody, not just my family, right. my neighbor down the street. I would stop and protect them because you just don't do that. And if people who don't get that, then they're going to find out the hard way that's not how you what happens. There are drastic consequences when you harm, when you, let's call it for what it is, when you murder civilians. There are consequences.
Indeed. Yolanda, I hope that's helpful. We have about 45 seconds before the top of our break, so I hope that was helpful with your answer.
God bless you. I just one, I'll talk very quickly. Just one last thing. I'm trying to, the correlation is that, first of all, I understand we're all descendants of Abraham, but the Palestinians are from, if I'm not mistaken, from Ishmael, Hagar, correct? And that's what I was trying to understand, the division.
Well, that's part of it, but that area, actually, part of it as well, it goes back to the Canaanites, goes back to the the Philistines. You go back to Tyre and Sidon, you're talking about Canaanites as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right, Yolanda, you hear the music, PCH, you can't, so.
Yeah, we're going to.
Thank you very much, Yolanda, for your phone call. As always, God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear the music. We're going to go to a break right now, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to call Eric right now and get him busy. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't need breaks until the show is over. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Give him a call right now. We'll be back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. With Eric Stanton receiving your phone calls, Ozzy is taking care of all that electronical stuff that we got going, engineering. My name is Daryl E.Z.D. Fulton, along with Professor Craig Hawkins, who I will continue to affectionately call PCH. And we're here to answer your questions from a biblical perspective, the issues that are going on in your life. Maybe you were reading through the Bible chronologically, following us on Facebook in a year, and you have questions, go ahead and post those questions. Or if you have a question in regards to the various scriptures, send them by all means. We want to answer those questions as well. But PCH, before we get back to the phone calls with BJ and Eric on the calls, and Reverend Phil has a Facebook question or Messenger question coming in, we're going to deal with that. I want to thank everybody for participating in the various ways. I want to definitely thank everyone that is praying for our ministry and praying for us both as individuals and the various ministries that we have going on, and also as a collective. Listening audience, I consider you guys an integral part of the team, and you are our team, whereby we can get this type of programming out so that people may be able to grow in their most holy faith, to deal with issues that may come to us, like with Brother Sergio searching and trying to get into what life is all about, and you know how to live it, and the conflicts it may have with the Roman Catholics, and as he says, his Christian family, as it were. So, PCH, I know we're not going to get back into that right now, but we're going to, you know, hopefully that Sergio will read the scriptures that we talked about. But in the scriptures, especially in the Gospel of Romans, it gives some very serious implications that there is only one way to heaven, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Why is that so super important to understand that? Either is right or it's just wrong. There's no in-between when someone says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help us understand that from a gospel perspective.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Well, sure. In John 14, for example, we're told very clearly that Jesus alone is the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Well, that's either awfully egotistical or ignorant or otherwise, but really, there's only two, three ways to be saved. You can sum up all religions, all isms, all what have you, in two or three ways. It's really that simple, Daryl. I tell my students, simplistic is simplifying to the point of being wrong. Simple is just getting it down to the most practical level, if you will. Look, either you're in a religion that teaches you're divine, or potentially so, and your problem is you don't realize your alleged divinity. So that's like classical Hinduism, and there's many other religions that teach something like that, the New Age movement, the idea that you're divine or potentially so, And of course, the Christian would say, well, that's the very lie that got Adam and Eve in trouble in the first place, that he could become like God. The second one is, well, okay, maybe you're not divine, but you save yourself, and that is you cooperate with some significant level with God. You and God work together to get you saved. So it's either almost all your work, or generally it's some combination of you and God. But you work. It is your works. It's your merit. It is because you deserve it. It's your wages. You've earned it. And so it's the idea, in one way, shape, or form, I earn or merit eternal life or salvation, that is heaven, fellowship with God. And so it's very clear, and often it works out to something like this. If I have more good works than bad works when I die, I'll go before God or Peter, whomever, and they'll do a computer printout. And if I have more good works than bad works, then I'm in. And if not, well, bad for me. But it's up to me meriting or earning it or deserving it. It's a concept of what we call dessert. Not the food dessert, but dessert in the sense that I merit something. That's all religions. I've just described all religions, all isms, cults, the occult, you name it. They all believe one or the other or some combination thereof. Christianity is the only religion, sine qua non, we say in Latin. It is the only one, or sui generis, I should say, sui generis, that is, well, this is what makes it unique, sine qua non, and sui generis means in the category by itself, is that Christianity teaches know that God has paid the price, that he's done for us what we cannot do, that he demands perfection, and we can't deliver perfection, even if we wanted to, because we've all already messed up, and thousands of times, most of us. If we're honest, we've messed up, and we have to trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, and believe on him and his finished work. So Christianity says God pays the price in full. It is because of the finished work of Christ. My works don't save me. I certainly will have good works. They certainly are the proof that I am saved. There's no such thing as a Christian or a believer who doesn't have good works. But those works didn't save me. What saves me is the finished work of Jesus Christ. So one more time, Daryl, this is the dividing line. This is the great continental divide, if you want to call it that, or whatever, between all religions, cults, all cults, isms, movements, whatever. You're either divine or potentially divine and realize that, or you maybe you're not divine, but you save yourself or you cooperate with God, but you significantly contribute to your salvation. Or as in Christianity, it's a gift from God from first to last, and we trust in Christ and believe on him and receive or appropriate would be the operative word. Through faith we appropriate, which does save us, which is the graciousness, the kindness, the goodness of God. It's not because God says, well, you're really not that bad, because I am. Or, well, okay, you're not that good, but I'll save you because you did enough works. Or you're divine or potentially so. No, no, no. It is because Christ has paid. Hey, Telestai, John 19:30, paid in full. It is finished. Christ has paid the penalty for my sins, for our sins, yours, mine, ours, all of us, individually and collectively. Those who trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior receive eternal life, and this eternal life is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, plus nothing.
Wow. And that's it. I mean, everyone has to deal with that, Craig. Why is it that no one's going to get a break by saying I was ignorant, I didn't read the scriptures, I didn't know of it? Why is that super important to understand that it's the bottom line that no one is going to have an excuse of, like, ignorance of the gospel?
Well, unless you're a psychopath, a sociopath, and you want to acknowledge that because you have a conscience and you know you're guilty. So there's at least three witnesses. Number one is, in any order, maybe from the least to most important, you have a conscience. God has made you, according to the book of Romans, chapter 2, among other places. You have a conscience, and you know that you've messed up. So nobody can say, well, I didn't know better. No, when you committed sin, you knew it was wrong, and you did it anyways, because you wanted to do it, number one. Number two is because, at least in America, we've all heard the law. We've heard of the Ten Commandments. We know thou shalt not murder, or fill in the blanks, covet, steal, kidnap, or what have you. Again, excuse me. And so we know there is the external law. We have, and even our society tells us certain things are right or wrong, right? You can't do that. I can't just go over and take my neighbor's car or, you know, walk on their property or what have you without permission. And then that's number two. Number three, besides the law, then conscience, number one. Number two, the law. And number three is because the Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts the world, John says, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. We know that we have sinned. God is righteous, and he does not tolerate sin, and therefore there's judgment. For those who do not trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, those who say, well, I'm going to white-knuckle this thing, or I'm going to go it alone, I'm going to do it myself, I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra, you're going to meet the eternal judge of the universe, the Supreme Court of the universe, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they will pronounce you guilty, and that's not funny. So in other words, Jesus can be your parakletos, the Greek word which was used for an attorney, a legal counselor. Indeed, in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, it refers to Jesus as our advocate. Well, an advocate in the sense of a legal advocate, of attorney, a legal counselor, that is. Not a psychological counselor, but a legal counselor who gives counsel regarding the law. Christ can either be your attorney or he can be the prosecuting DA who's going to convict you of your sins.
Right.
What my friend, the wise person, confesses their sin, asks for forgiveness, repents of it, and trusts in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
There will be no appeal. There will appeal rights on that.
Exactly, because that's only if there is some procedure that's a violation of due process or some other violation of the law, the way it was meted out, or instruction to the jury, and that ain't bad grammar. That ain't happening.
That ain't going to be that way. All right, PCH, we have a few phone calls coming in. BJ, you're going to be next up on the calls, and Eric's going to get set to read some questions from Facebook on Dixie and Timothy in a moment. But why don't we do this? And our phone, Eric, and Brother Ted, hang in there also. We're going to get to all of your phone calls, get all these questions as fast as we can. So, PCH, if I don't make a mistake here, I don't want to click anybody off, but let's go right here to BJ in the city of Inglewood, my old stomping grounds and working place. Welcome to the broadcast, BJ.
How you doing, Daryl?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm your friend. Remember I called you up with the actor from the Power Rangers?
Okay, yeah, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm jealous because you mentioned Rodney Allen Rippey's name a month ago. I'm watching.
Matter of fact, Rodney got a new foundation. I'll be talking about that a little later on in conjunction with what he's doing with the seniors and everybody else and blah, 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 blah. Matter of fact, I might even have him come on and say a few words because he's going to try to get me on his broadcast, his podcast, to say a few words as well. What is that? Some kind of nepotism, Craig, when we get each other on each other's broadcasts and podcasts?
but he works with me with the kids, though, and he does. You need to see him work inside of a school with some kids. He's almost as good as me.
Well, you know what? I'll pay for a ticket for that. See both of y'all work.
I'm going to need your help from with you. The middle schools.
Craig, don't interrupt, Craig. We're grown folks are talking, Craig. Don't interrupt.
That's quite a compliment coming from you.
I knew you were going to say that. But all right, Power Ranger, BJ, let's get to your question, brother. We got a lot of this time we got to do.
I need your help because I'm a veteran, and I'm kind of debating some of the veterans because of the suicide problem we have.
Oh, man.
And I told them they should be focusing on Christ because some of them say, oh, we're spiritual. I said, but... I don't want to challenge myself, but you need to know Jesus and focus on let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The guys are, you'd be surprised how much death we're still seeing in these guys.
Yeah.
I said, you guys have a free access to the throne, but you're coming with that military attitude, which trains you to kill, and it's backfiring.
Yeah. PCH, please.
Yeah, no, this really breaks my heart.
Yeah.
When I think of the suicide rate, I mean, just one, forget the suicide rate, just one person, but people who've given their best for this country, many of them, of course, wounded and seriously at that, losing arms, legs, and what have you. But those with post-traumatic stress syndrome, I think of my dad. My dad was at the end of World War II. He served in Korea and did two tours of Vietnam. And, my dad had post-traumatic stress syndrome. Well, my dad's 90, almost 96. He'll be 96 coming up in a few months here. But I think of, I've heard, these stories of these dear men who've, again, given this country everything. And for us to be
turning our back. When I say turning our back, I mean that in the sense of not giving them the best, not availing all the funds necessary. And yeah, you and I would agree, BJ, that it's the gospel that will only help somebody. You know, of course, as a state, being a secular organization, they're going to say, well, we can't do that. But that's why I would argue and want to encourage Christians, particularly those who have served in the military, who are veterans, that they do all they can, and the rest of us support them financially and otherwise to help these dear men who I just can't imagine the agony they go through, and then for them to take their own lives because of such despair is criminal. It's nothing less than criminal. So anything we can do to help veterans and period, let alone those struggling with, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome, who are suicidal or otherwise, that's why, to me, you know, we ought to do all we can to help them.
And, you know, one of the things, I'm going to say this, just to add to what you guys are talking about, one of the saddest things you're going to see is when a veteran commits a crime, then he gets in there, and the crime was predicated upon a lot of stuff that happened to him in the war and in servicing, and now we got that whole criminal element going on involved with him in there behind bars and how they're dealing with him from a criminal perspective versus a mental health perspective. I'm not siding one way or the other. Every situation is going to be different, but it's just, man, you're talking about breaking your heart. It does. It's just a heartbreaker, and that's why I appreciate what you do, BJ, and what Rodney is doing with his foundation. He just established it, man, and we're going to be talking more about it, BJ. So, man, I really appreciate your phone call and your question.
I'm going to give him a call and make sure we connect.
Please do. Please do. If you guys could bring me on a 3-way, long as I'm not working on, you know, at my job, my 18 meetings, and I'll more than likely answer that phone call.
Yeah, BJ, thanks for calling in and bringing this up. This is really important.
Appreciate you, man, for that. BJ, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you. God bless you,
man. You too as well. You know, PCA, that's so important, man. And like you said, like your dad, man, 96 years old. Wow. Man, that's just brilliant, man. That's just brilliant. 888-995-5552 is the number, 888-995-5552. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers for social media like Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, and Messenger is Bible Info Brokers is the address. And if you're going to send us an email question, that is livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. Brother Eric Stanton, are you ready with the Facebook questions?
Yes, I am, Daryl.
Well, let's do it.
Before I read them, I want to tell Eric and Glendale and Ted City of Angels, hang on, we're going to get to you momentarily.
See how he's qualifying Craig to take my spot, man. You watch, I'm going to be traveling soon. So
did you notice that BJ said, bring Eric with you, too?
I didn't ignore it, but I heard it.
Okay. Well, let's get to the question. Our question comes from our good friend Timothy, always has excellent questions for us. His question is from Matthew 8:22. Is it literally that we don't bury the dead? I knew a family from the Church of Christ that thought funerals weren't holy because of Matthew 8:22.
8:22 reads, let's see what it says here.
Let the dead bury their own dead. Yeah.
Say it again, Craig.
Well, dead bury their own dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus said to them.
Or a man, and he says, hey, I need to stay, and let me bury my father, and then I'll come follow you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It had more to do with following Christ and, you know, then it is just like the mandate, let the dead bury the dead, and if you don't bury them, then you're doing something wrong.
Excuse me. And the context here is it's clearly not forbidding funerals, clearly not forbidding. Indeed, we're told to honor our father and mother. Well, we want to talk about a slap in the face. It would be to not show up at their funeral. I mean, if you could help it at all. And so that's clearly not what's going on here. What is going on here is this guy's making an excuse. He doesn't want to count the cost. He doesn't want to follow Christ. And or maybe his father would object to him following Christ and would disown him. And so there's something shady going on here. It's but it's for the wrong reasons. But the problem is not that we shouldn't care about burying our dead. No, that's not the point. No, indeed, we honor our family and clearly our parents
whether funeral, whether that entails cremation or however the case may be. No, this guy was using this as an excuse. His motives were not right, and Christ bust him. Kind of like the rich young ruler who says,
"Well,
I've obeyed all the commandments." He goes, "Yeah, you lack one thing. Go sell all you have and follow me." But he loved his money, and he wasn't about to give it up. So Jesus puts his finger on the issues. The woman at the well, John 4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could use numerous examples. He knows what's going on with people. We give God, we blow smoke at God. We give the smoke screen when we're done blowing smoke. And God says, no, 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 homie, that ain't it. This is the issue. Here's the problem. Let's deal with it.
Yeah, indeed. Appreciate that. Timothy, that's an excellent question as usual, man. Thank you, Greg, for the answer. Let's go. Let's do another Facebook question. Why don't you take care of Dixie's question, Eric?
Okay, Dixie. By the way, Dixie, just to let you know, the sound is turned off during the break. That's why you couldn't hear the sound on Facebook. Okay, so Dixie's question is Ethiopia the oldest country in the world? Also, did God curse Ham and his descendants because he laughed at his father, Noah, when Noah was drunk? Who are Noah's descendants by tribe? That's Dixie's question.
So is Kush, is that the oldest country in the world, PCH?
I don't know.
What?
It's out of my area. Contrary to what people think that I would answer, act as if I know everything. No, I don't. I don't know what the oldest country is, if you will. I know Ethiopia is ancient, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the Kushites is what you're referring to, Daryl. I think you say Kush, and you're right. The Queen of Sheba was from there. But I don't know. That's a question I'm not qualified to answer. And anthropologically, I'm not quite sure who the actual tribes are, unquote, who are the descendants of Ham. I just know that the one son gets in trouble, or two of them, because they did not honor their father. He got drunk and apparently didn't mean to. He didn't know the effects of fermentation at that time. And he gets drunk, and they dishonor him by making fun of him. Yeah, making light of it, not treating him with respect. They should have covered him up and not gone around telling everybody. Instead, they kind of dialed up the local social media and were telling everybody, if you will. And God judges him for it.
Yeah, you know, just all this drinking and drunk stuff just reminded me. What was the patriarch? Was it Lot, who had a situation when he got drunk and his two daughters went into him? They had, what was it, Edomites and Moabites? Well, that's where they come from. Another drunken situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get drunk, bad things happen.
Bad things happen. That's why I do not be drunk with wine. Anyway, Eric, appreciate that, Dixie. Hope that answers your question. Craig, we only have about another 25 minutes left on the broadcast, man. Let's take as many calls and more questions as we can. Eric, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it. Love your voice, Eric. You got a good hosting voice, man. I love that. 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number. You can call Eric with his hosting voice and talk to him. He'll set you up in the queue for the phone calls. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers for social media, which is Truth Social, Twitter, Messenger, or Facebook. And if you're going to send us an email question, I'm going to check those right now. If you send us any email questions, that's at livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com. Let's go to our dear. Go ahead, Craig.
By the way, Daryl, we do have a question that a brother sent us.
From prison, right?
Yes.
Yeah, read that one, Alvin. BCA. Do you have it?
I believe it's Alvin. Well, I have it, but if I pull it up, it's hard to do it on my phone at the same time.
Now, Eric, do you have – let me see. Wasn't Eric going to make a copy of that question too? Eric, do you have that question from
– No, I do not.
Can he pull it up on his phone? If not, you just have to give it – let me do it, but I have to put my phone on speaker. So if it's –
yeah, do that.
Me,
it's okay.
I can't walk and chew gum.
Yeah, look, we could deal with coughing and all kind of stuff, all kind of things we could deal with on this show. Okay. So pull that question up. I'd love to hear that question from prison. So hang in there, Eric. Hang in there, Ted. We're going to get to you in a second, okay, on the phone call. 888-995-5552 is the number. Go ahead, PCH.
You can hear me.
Yep.
The question is, it's regarding Isaiah 30:1-4, and he actually quotes it. I'll quote it in just a moment.
Okay.
But he says, my question is from verses 2 and 3, does this apply to us, that is to us today? If so, what does Egypt and Pharaoh's protection and Egypt's shade symbolize? How does this fit in modern day? In the modern day, please elaborate. Thank you. This is from Alvin. Alvin, it's a pleasure for us to attempt to answer this. There we go. Give me one more second here. I might be able to walk and chew gum. There we go. So that was Alvin's question. It's dealing with Isaiah 30, but particularly verses 2 and 3, but I'm going to read verses 1 and 4 for context. And let me read it, and then I will give to him, for what it's worth, my perspective on does it apply today. So here we are, Isaiah 30. In my NIV, it says, "Woe," in other words, you're in trouble, "to the obstinate children, declares the Lord." That is his children. He's rebuking them. Why? Because they're trusting in Egypt to take care of them against Sennacherib, one of the kings of Assyria. "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look to help for to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in zone, and though their envoys have arrived in Haines." Anyways, dot, dot, dot. In other words, they're in trouble. So, first of all, does this apply to us? Well, the principle would be, I would argue, Scripture has one and only one meaning, but it can have many applications. Mm-hmm. So this was literally given to part of our Jewish friends, particularly dealing with Assyria and Sennacherib, who was the king at the time of the Assyrians at this time, and his army. And so they're scared witless. Clearly Assyria is going to run them over. They're no match for them. So instead of seeking God and looking to him like, say, King Hezekiah did, he sought God, said, "Hey, man, tell Isaiah the prophet, we're in trouble. We're beseeching God," and God heard him and honored him because he trusted in God, and by the way, ironically, to deal with Assyria as well. But because Israel trusted in, we would sometimes use the word the flesh or the arm of the flesh, which means in just natural materialistic factors, they didn't trust in God. They went to Egypt. In other words, Egypt will save us. We'll pay them. We'll give them money. They'll protect us. And Pharaoh and shade, of course, is just that. I mean, that's extremely hot in the Middle East. So shade is a great, when you ever can get some shade, you get protected from the sun. So it has the idea of being protected from something. In this case, the harsh element, the sun. S-U-N, and being protected from Sennacherib and his army of the Assyrians, they didn't trust in God. And it's a worldly, it's an unspiritual thing that they did. They should have trusted and relied upon God because he said he would protect them. He would watch over them. So God says, "Oh, you're going to trust in Egypt? Well, I'll let you get smacked and I'll let Egypt get smacked as well because you didn't trust in me." Now, that's the meaning. But I believe it applies to us today. I believe this passage does apply, and it's any time we believers act worldly, and by worldly I mean we don't really trust in God. Mm-hmm. I'll give you some examples in a moment, Alvin. Well, we don't trust in God. We trust in our alliances. We trust in the agreements we make with other people. I mean, God's not saying it's wrong to work with other people or make an alliance, but when you do it not by permission of God or by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but you do it in place of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you an example. God forbid you're in prison and someone's going to shank you or someone's coming after you. And all you do, instead of praying and looking to God for protection, and there's nothing wrong with telling the guards or whatever, it's not my point, but you just trust in, well, so-and-so owes me a favor, or I'm going to pay so-and-so or pay a certain gang to protect me, paying for protection, or I'm going to do some sinful activity. I'm going to commit some egregious sin so that they give me protection because I got to pay for it. They're not just going to give me protection from someone who's out to harm me, who's going to, you know, stab me or otherwise beat me up. An individual persons. That's worldly. But the church does the same thing. When we look to our marketing sticks and strategies, when we look at our little schemes and our little programs, when we think, oh, well, I don't need God's help. I went to seminary. I got a PhD or at least a D-min. Of course, as one of my friends used to say, cast the demons out, pun on down the doctor of ministry, the D-M-I-N degree, or I've got a THM or a MDiv or whatever. We were often in the church, we rely upon our secular, our worldly That is non-spiritual techniques, like a marketing technique. I'm going to pay some company that's going to help me market it. They're going to help me write newsletters and show me what parts to underline, because we're told if you underline certain parts of a letter. I mean, I know this stuff because I've worked at ministries that people give more money. So we're going to show you how to mark up your letter and make it look like you did it just on the spot, and so that they'll give more money. That's manipulative. And so in the church, we rely upon many times our marketing sticks, our marketing strategies, our programs, our cute little programs at church. We do things a certain way, so because we've been told this will attract people, this will bring them in, this will keep them. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God, because we're preaching the Word, because we're doing just godly, great spiritual worship, because we're teaching the full counsel of God. And so I believe it does apply to the world, to the church today. Not just the world are not obstinate children. They're not his children. They're obstinate, but they're not believers. But we as believers can be obstinate. And if you ever have had a child and have your own child be obstinate to you, you know how egregious it is. So I would argue one meaning, but many applications. And I think it, therefore, my answer to you is it does apply. And Pharaoh is anyone, or anything for that matter, that we rely upon to protect us or advance our cause or increase our ministry, in quotes. I use the word increase in quotations here. And we rely upon it, not on God. In other words, we don't wear ourselves out on our knees praying to God and seeking his face and teaching the word of God and believing the word of God. We've got some program or some person who's going to sell us something that's going to either protect us or advance our cause, and we don't look to God himself. And that is an egregious, obstinate sin.
Man, that is great. Are you at privilege to say what President Alvin is in? And if anybody's listening over there, we really appreciate him spreading that word and letting them hear the answer.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see it on the thing myself, but okay. I pray the best for that brother. We have other brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We know that are incarcerated that listen as well, and we're praying the best for you. And some of this is a precious little of some of the teaching they get, so it's really important.
Super.
That we're able to minister to them any way we can.
Indeed.
Absolutely great privilege.
You know what, folks? This just kind of reminded me. If you go to our website at Bible Info Brokers, you will see right on the front page about our virtual Bible study. I know they got all kind of sophisticated things going on in prison right now, because I'm getting ready to go into prison with my scoring system to try to prepare folks that are being released to have jobs when they come out PCH in regards to keeping score on golf courses and stuff like that until they can get a better situation for themselves. But to transition, because I know how difficult it is. So, folks, if you're so inclined, you're going to Bible study, that's great. If you're not going to Bible study, hey, take an opportunity to check out our virtual Bible study with Brother Sal, who took over for Brian and doing a fantastic job. And just click on that Zoom link and communicate with Sal at his email address, and he'll set you all up for that. And we really appreciate that. And PCH, before we go back to the phone calls of Ted, Eric, and then other calls that may call in, I do want to give opportunity for the people to be able to participate in our giving as well. We need to do that at least twice a show, because if we don't, then we're getting back in that situation whereby we don't mention it, and then we wonder why, we're kind of straining financially. But you've been so faithful, ladies and gentlemen. I want PCH to tell you real succinctly how you can give and what you're giving to, and I will tell you how to execute that, because I love execution.
Well, in a qualified sense.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. Because people can't take that another way, huh?
Yes. No, but all seriousness, we are a faith-supported broadcast, which means, and we're not knocking it, but we don't have a large church supporting us, paying the bill.
Right.
We are supported by God through you, through people who listen and who believe this is a blessing or can be a blessing to people like Alvin and others who are incarcerated or otherwise not, who are at work right now or getting ready to go to work. Not everybody works 9 to 5, what have you, or is going to work 9 to 5, but they're up listening because this is a blessing. This is a benefit to them. If you believe in the broadcast and you believe what we do, that is, you're primarily supporting the radio broadcast and what it costs to buy radio time. Also the website, and to keep that updated, adding the newest programs and paying our webmaster a modest fee, but nonetheless for his time that he spends doing that, rightly so. The workman is worthy of his hire. Also, we do the TOT, the training of trainers, where we are training pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, and Bible translators. Some of them, no hype, no exaggeration, going to parts where the gospel's never been preached. Parts of Nepal and India, Bhutan, Bangladesh, other parts. We are training people from there, pastors, Christian leaders, Bible translators, and missionaries. And you are involved in that. You make that possible with your prayers and your financial support. We also pay for the health insurance premiums for the widow of our dear brother Brian, who went home to be with the Lord. And so that's what we use the funds for. So we can say that. I mean, that is the vast majority. It is minuscule, Daryl. The money goes to anything else because none of us receives a salary. We're not knocking ministries where people get paid a salary. That's not wrong, but that's not how we do it. And we don't have overhead. We don't have a brick-and-mortar building. So, you know, when we buy materials, we give away. I take materials over, for example, to India and Nepal and elsewhere and give those away for free. Of course, the training is for free. We pay for the travel. We pay for the room and board. Some of these guys, they're not going to seminary. They're not going to Bible college because they can't. They don't have the funds and or there isn't one anywhere near them. And they don't have the funds to do it anyway. So if you think that's worthwhile, if you believe in what we just said, then Daryl's going to tell you how you can stand with us prayerfully. Of course, you can do that wherever you are, whenever you want, but financially as well. Daryl?
Really appreciate that, and I appreciate the efficiency of how we do in ministry. It doesn't mean that the other folks are wrong for doing the way they do it, but please don't take away from where you go to church. Please don't take away from the fellowship that you attend, if you have a home church or whatever it is that you're dealing with. Don't take away from where you're participating and growing in your most holy faith in there. Just do exactly what PCH said. You can take an opportunity to use some of the Lord's money to give here, then by all means do that. But do not pray for us. Please, we covet your prayers in such a way that we just trust and believe that your praying for us is really what we need most of all. The Lord will take care of everything else. He has been doing so for 20 plus years that we've been on the air. 25 years, Craig, even more. I was just looking at some of the paperwork. But anyway, here's how you can give what Craig just said. Click on the website, Bible Info Brokers, BibleInfoBrokers.com. Click at the icon, support and donate. Follow the instructions right there. If you're so inclined, you're going to have something mailed into the broadcast, whether your bank is going to do it, you're going to instruct your bank to do it, your financial institution to mail it in, or you're going to mail it in yourself. The envelope must say Live by Word, or LBTW is fine, at P.O. Box 90477. P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. I must say it again. Live by Word must be on an envelope. Our LBTW is fine. P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. And, of course, you make the negotiable instrument to LBTW as well, Living by the Word. And we appreciate that. And you can designate as you will. My preferred method, my sincere preferred method, is simply Zelle. No fee. LiveByWord@AOL.com is the address. LiveByWord@AOL.com is the address to send in the Zelle donation. We appreciate all of that in advance, and God bless you for it. And again, please, please, please pray for us. We really need your prayers. PCH, that number you can call Eric. Let's bother Eric. He has some open lines. He's not doing anything over there. Him and Ozzy having a good time in the other side of the studio. 888-995-5552. Get Eric busy. 888-995-5552 is the number. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Twitter. I'm sorry. There you go, Craig. Twitter, Messenger, or Truth Social. Bible Info Brokers is the address for those social media. Don't forget to share. Click that share button. Let people know that you're listening to us, and they can even catch our archive shows as well. And the final thing is the Bible Info Brokers. You can send us an email at livebyword@AOL.com. Livebyword@AOL.com. Send us an email question for tonight and for the future. PCH. Why don't we go to, I guess he's a friend of ours, in Glendale. Eric, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, it's good to be on the show. I appreciate it. And greetings to you, Professor Hawkins. I'll make my question quick. I was thinking about this the other day, and I couldn't articulate an answer in my own mind. Now, as Christians, we're all familiar with this idea that, you know, you pray for me, I'll pray for you, let's get a prayer group together, you know, the more the merrier. Let's all pray about this. Let's all pray about that. Jesus said, whenever two are gathered in my name, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I pray for something by myself, what advantage is it if other people are praying for me? I mean, if God's answer to prayer is essentially binary, it's yes, no, or it's wait, you know, there's no maybe with God. Like, what difference does it make if I've got a lot of people praying for me, if I'm praying by myself? I mean, the whole thing kind of doesn't, maybe I'm overthinking it, but it just, you follow me, it's just like, why does it matter how many people are praying for something? If I'm praying and it's in God's will, great, you know.
You know, Eric, can I ask you this question? You're not including in what you just said these emails that I've seen where people say don't break the prayer circle, as it were, the email circle or something like that. Are you including that in there? Or are you just that did not come in part of your question?
No, that's got nothing to do with.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure of that. PCH.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a great point that Eric's bringing up. Yeah, so it's not like, well, okay, we need five. We need a critical mass here. There was a guy, Benjamin Krem, who claimed to be the Christ, but he kept saying he was going to appear and save the world, but, well, not enough people believe. And so he had to reach a critical mass before he could appear. Well, good news for us is that he never appeared because he never got that critical mass. So that's not Christianity. What I would argue it does entail is it shows God how serious we are, and I think it's prayer is not just as much about changing our hearts as it's changing any situation we are concerned about. And it's not that God doesn't know, but it shows our seriousness and how we come together and align ourselves in one with a cause, a brother, sister, or sisters, or brothers, praying for them, whatever the case may be. But you are absolutely correct. It doesn't take like two or three or five or ten. One righteous person praying, right? That's the point of James. One righteous man praying. The prayers of a righteous man are efficacious, are effectual. And so James 5, right? In chapter 5. So it only takes one, but when we come together, it brings about unity. It shows common cause, and it is often a precursor to God's work in the life of His church. It is more for us than for the people we're praying. Just to put it simple, yeah. You don't need all. God goes, I'm not listening if it's only one. You get five. I mean, come talk to me. But you know, one. You know, kind of like our Congress people. You got to have so many people complain before they actually listen, because they think, oh, this is representative of so many thousands for each person. But one person complains, yeah, whatever, have a nice life. God's not like that.
PCH, can I just extend Eric's question a little bit in regards to the – I know somebody out there may be thinking about the two or three where they say if you agree and touch anything. Wasn't that dealing more so with some kind of church judgment, discipline, or something like that, as opposed to just getting your prayers answered?
I'm sorry, I come again, dear Owen?
That part, I'm trying to remember the verse. I'm going to bring it up when it comes to me, but it's about what people say where you agree by two or three touching or agreeing that every word is established on heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven in regards to two or three come in agreement. Somehow, am I thinking I heard some teaching on that in regards to church discipline as opposed to getting a prayer answered?
Right, but even then, you don't need two or three. Even that's not correct, though. You need two or three to get church discipline. It's a principle of fellowship and of getting together. It's not a question of some type of critical mass or God doesn't take us serious. Come back when you've got four or five, you know, I'll talk to you.
Right.
It has to do with aligning ourselves with God's will. And God works on us individually, but He also works on us, in us, and through us as a unit, if I could put it that way, as a group. Right? In other words, I'm not the church. I'm a part of the church. Mm. So each person is important and valuable, I would argue, but it's the church collective. And so, again, I hope that helps Eric's question. But that's really the deal there, I would argue.
Yeah, I'm going to read the verse. It's Matthew 18:19. It says, again, yeah. I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, as far as the verse by itself. And I thought it was just dealing with some kind of discipline or something like that in the church. And I have to go back and read the other verses. But, Brother Eric, excellent call, man. Thank you for your question, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless you, man. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Craig, excuse my voice. Getting a little faded up there as I get a little older.
Daryl, if I could quickly, let me comment one more thing here and apply it to actually. So, again, I don't think it gets God's attention, but I think it shows our seriousness. And it's kind of like, God, this is so important. I'm going to get others involved in this. And we're going to barrage you, not that we have to. Luke 18 tells us about that, but God's not an unrighteous judge. He gladly gives us justice and what's right and good and true. But it shows, we say to God, this is so important. This person has cancer or whatever it is we're praying for, that we are going to storm heaven's gates and we're going to keep doing this because you've told us to. We're serious. Until we get what we want, we're not stopping. And I'm going to get everybody I can to join me. So an example. The mission pastor at my fellowship where I attend, he's from Ethiopia, and we're trying to get back into Ethiopia to do some teaching, a lot of word faith stuff and false theology in Ethiopia. There's incredible opportunities and persecution. Islam is there and kills Christians, but there are incredible opportunities in Ethiopia. But my friend has not been able to leave the country because of a problem with his visa.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his green card. It got boggled. It got, enmeshed in all the bureaucracy. And so the problem is if he leaves the country, he may not be able to get back in. And he has a wife and three kids and can't do that. So here's my point. His name is Tamina. Tamina's his name. And we want to get back into Ethiopia. He's from Ethiopia. We have incredible ministry opportunities. So I'm going to want to enlist everybody listening right now to pray for Tamina, T-A-M-E-N-E, Tamina, T-A-M-E-N-E, and pray that the Lord, according to his will get him not only his visa situation fixed. He has to get it done by the end of December or he has to leave the country, and he should have his green card. This has been years delayed. So Tamina, and so here's applying what we just said to Eric. I want all of you to at least one time, if not regularly, pray for Tamina until he gets not only his visa but his green card. Why? Because God won't answer just my prayers? Well, that may be true, but no, because we are so serious. We're going to barrage heaven's gates until we can see this brother get his green card. His children, two of his children have serious handicaps. One's had cancer and a radical effects from that. And so they really can't go to Ethiopia. That would be detrimental to their health. They don't have the medical care there that the two boys get here. So I want as many as possible. I want the prayer warriors. I'm talking to you, prayer warrior. You keep praying for Tamina, T-A-M-E-N-E. Keep praying for him until he gets this green card, till he gets his new visa, and then green card, and so that we can go into Ethiopia for some radical ministry, which right now the doors are shut. We can't get in. We're asking God to open those doors.
And see, and when you say it like that, Craig, that's where, and from my perspective, if you filter everything with, Lord, according to your will and purpose, because you don't know what's going to happen if you do get there. And, you know,
right.
And I mean, the reason why I was having like a little sour taste in my mouth. I remember this whole movement. I just Googled it or whatever it is on this internet. And remember that thing they called PUSH, that acronym, Pray Until Something Happens. And it was predicated upon the widow who had that judge, and she kept, by her importunity, just kept breaking them down until he finally gave. And they came up with a whole thing that's what people got together.
Mm-hmm.
And just kept saying, we're going to pray, like you said, and bombard God with our prayer until he just does something. And the problem with that last thing, doing something, I don't want God to do anything unless it's according to his will and his purpose for my life or anything specific that I'm asking for, even in an Tamina situation. You know, we have what we want, but we want God's will to be done,
exactly,
even in that situation.
And I would say, in light of what Eric said, there's four ways God answers prayer. Four ways. Sometimes yes, sometimes no,
sometimes wait, and sometimes quit asking.
That last part we never want to hear, do we?
God told Moses that.
Exactly.
Don't ask me, for example, I think it's Deuteronomy 32 is one of them. Also, it's in Jeremiah. You have another example in chapters like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, where God tells Jeremiah, don't pray. Don't pray for these guys. Forget it. These obstinate kids, don't even pray for them.
Wow.
And Moses was, come on, God. Hey, I don't blame him. I'm not picking on Moses. He's like, hey, I want to go into the promised land. God says, no. And finally, God says to him, don't ask again. I said no.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that to my kids, but you, man, good Lord.
Serious.
Hey, listen, I know Ozzy's going to come tell me we have about 4 or 5 minutes left. So, see, he just did it. He just did it in my head, Craig. As soon as I
the
said
Wizard
it,
Wizard of
it,
Oz?
The Wizard of Oz came up there and told me 5 minutes. So, Ted, let's get into your question, brother, from the City of Angels. How you doing, bro?
Yes, sir. How you gentlemen doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. We got that call from Ozzy, so let's get right into your question tonight.
Well, what really bothered me was on YouTube, I seen the Israeli police officers harassing Christians in Israel. And mm-hmm. he was asked, basically, he quoted the Bible to him. And I guess what the officer said was that you are to be killed if you're a idol worshiper. And Christians are idol worshipers, and basically point blank says that their faith says that that's their God-given right. And so I had to look it up, and basically they had to do it through due process. So he was, wasn't saying they would physically do it, but they would do it through courts and due process, which to me, gentlemen, backs up the story that they were responsible for getting the Romans to kill Jesus. In that officer's own words, he admitted exactly what is in scriptures and what we've been telling the world, and they have denied it and said they weren't responsible for Jesus' death. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all the proof I needed, just hearing that Israeli police officer say point blank that you are to be killed.
Well, okay, but I'm going to have to disagree a couple things. First of all, some police officer shooting his mouth off does not speak for the courts, number one, and it would be a violation of what's a procedural and substantive due process. Number two, we're not idolaters. We would argue we are indeed worshiping Yahweh. We are worshiping the one true God, so there's a dialogue to be had. Number three is that doesn't prove they killed Jesus. Yeah, did they want him killed? Sure. And so did everybody else. But the reality was Jesus got killed because God the Father and the Holy Spirit allowed it, as did the Son, for that matter, by the way. He's not just a bystander. He allows it. He tells us that in John. But additionally, look, Pilate, if he wanted to man up, could have stopped it, but he didn't. He wussed out.
30 seconds, BCH, 30 seconds,
yeah,
sorry.
He didn't want to upset the Romans. Anyways, the Jews. So call back again, Ted, and we can talk some more. This
Indeed.
Is really important.
Appreciate you, Ted. We got to go on that. PCH, make your final closing argument. That was an excellent way, kind of a cliffhanger to come back on maybe next week. We can deal with the rest of that and spend a little more time on it. But give me your final thoughts, brother.
Test all things, including what we say, by the word of God. Hold fast to that which is true.
I would simply say this. This month has been a very special month for me. I soft launched this whole system whereby I think that the Lord's going to use that to raise money for a lot of nonprofits, especially those that's in ministry that we agree with and we want to be able to give. And if you are a golfer, please just simply send me your email address and say, I'm a golfer. What are you talking about, EZ? At livebyword@aol.com. I'm a golfer. livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com is the address if you want to participate in helping raise money for nonprofit organizations through the game of golf. And it may be other sports coming up, but we're going to start with golf at first. So livebyword@aol.com. Let's raise some money for these nonprofits, for the veterans, for the children, for all the things we talked about, for TOT, all of that through the game of golf at this particular time. I am Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, and just proud of it and saying, if the Lord is willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Broker. So don't forget to pray for us. Don't forget to go to church, go to Bible study, get involved with the Word of God, read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and by all means, if the Lord is willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Broker, presented by Living by the Word Ministries and the faithful listeners and participators in giving. God bless.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.